Hello everyone, this is Moncef Afkar, and thank you so much for joining us today in this new call of Your Divine Uniqueness. And I'm truly honored and really thrilled that we have with us Mia Denhan, and I really love her energy. She's someone that you easily trust from the first time you meet her or you talk to her, and she really doesn't need to prove anything. It's you feel that in her energy. She really has very gentle and caring energy, and also I love her work, her healing method. It's the divine soul essence. And if some of you already experienced that, you know how it works, how it is effortless, and you just need to allow spirit to help you. And if you were listening to the recent course, we talked about that many times, about the simplicity of life, of making things simple, because we are giving too many meanings and rules about spirituality, about ourselves, our relationship with spirits, with source. And it may be conscious or unconscious, but it affects our that sometimes we believe that we don't deserve, because we didn't reach some stage, we don't deserve the help of spirits or source. And I really love the way Mia works with her clients. It's simple, effortless, and really so many people experience so many miracles. It's really, really amazing. And today we will be talking about aligning with the natural flow of your inner source. And also we'll have a Q&A as always. And just a reminder, and for those of you who are new, you can raise your hand by pressing *2 on your phone if you want to ask your question. And for those of you on the webcast, you can write your question on the question box. And also just a reminder, for those of you on the webcast, you can also call in using the web call. You have there a section about the web call and the button. And yeah. It's a free tool that you can use right away from your browser. All right, so now I just would like to give you a brief introduction to Mia. So Mia has been an energy worker for more than 30 years, initially offering hands-on healing. After a major awakening in 2000, Mia's healing work began evolving, whereby in 2002, she was given this special healing method called Your Divine Soul Essence through her ability to channel spirits. This method is currently still the main modality in her healing practice. Mia has spent thousands of hours in sessions offering her spiritual services to clients in more than 35 countries. With her gifts, Mia has helped many of all ages, including medical practitioners, lawyers, businessmen and women, scientists, film stars, healers, and alternative healing practitioners, and individuals, including young children. As a spiritual healer and channel for spirit, Mia receives information directly from your soul's highest level of wisdom. She can receive guidance for any issues, personal or family matters or business. She receives information about your body and mental, emotional, and spiritual planes, karmic issues, or your genetic lineage. So that's Mia. I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Moncef, for inviting me to this call. It's a very great honor to be here today.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Mia. And yeah, Mia, I really love your story. It's quite amazing. I know your clients experienced so many miracles, but yourself, you experienced so many miracles, like avoiding surgery and reversing blood pressure. I would love if we can start by talking about that, this part when you started awakening and before starting working with others.
Yes, sure, I can. I was born in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam, and at a time, mm-hmm. post-war Europe, and suddenly around me, nobody was talking spirituality in the way that it was shown to me. People certainly were very religious and they would go to church, yeah, etc., but not about channeling and clairvoyance. So I had all the gifts from birth, but I learned very soon to suppress it. And I did that probably for more than 30 years in hindsight. But I went through two phases. The first phase was from birth, where I was very awakened, very aware. I could see through people. I was able to see the divine as well as the persona, except I didn't quite understand what the persona was as a young child. But around 8, 9, or 10, I was clearly told by those that were helping me in the spiritual world that I had for a while had to pull back from that state, and I had to, what I would now in this language call, strengthen my persona. Now, it would have been given to me at the time as a 10-year-old in a different way, but subsequently I did that. I focused very much on study. In my family, it was very much the thing to do, you study and focus on your career. In those days in particular. So that's what I did do. And in the 70s, I actually started my career in IT, information technology, which was in hindsight quite brave because it was an unknown field. Very few people worked in it in those days. And as females particularly, there were just simply no females in a profession. So I didn't choose it for that reason. I simply liked it. And to this day, still like that industry. So for quite a few years, I was like everybody else, except that I had that extra sensory awareness that helped me a lot in my career as well. I can see that in hindsight, at the time I just went with it. Now, during my, it probably started to become more prevalent again in the early 20s, where I became far more aware again that when a person dies, the soul lives on, because I had quite profound experiences where I could see that soul body still alive. I just would not talk about that. I was always actually very concerned that people would think there was something wrong with me when I said that. Yeah. It was at a time when there was no internet. There were very few books on the subject. And the same when, for example, my son was born, I could see his soul coming into the body. But again, I kept that very much to myself. Now, that went on until around about 84, 85. I had, in 82, we immigrated to Australia. To this day, I cannot exactly explain what gave me the breakthrough, perhaps a divorce. I went through divorce as well. But it could also have been that Australia as a country is a county with very little war. It has a very pure energy, whereas I was living in a very busy city with not a good history. It was, Rotterdam was severely bombarded in the Second World War. It had a high level of casualties. So I don't know whether it was a combination of an immigration, whether the time was right, whether it was also because I immigrated to Australia. But I was exposed here also more to the very first few books that started to come out, because they were just imported from America. And one of the books that I came across was The Course in Miracles, which I really loved. It was in the 80s. It was in the earlier days, as well as the Edgar Cayce Foundation, which I'm not sure whether many people have heard of that, but I became a member. And that could also have helped with my awakening, because I went through tremendous awakenings, tremendous experiences, such as out-of-body experiences, floating through walls, and not being able to tell anybody that, because I had no, I just didn't know how to explain it. But then about 87, 88, I had more people around me. I was able to open up about it, and I had also become a hands-on healer. And that was accepted. I did that at night time, while during the daytime I was still happily doing all my IT work, and nobody would even know. And then none of my colleagues, I would not talk about it. That went actually on during the 90s. I started my own business in 1990 with employees. And that was also a period initially where I pulled a little bit back from my healing gift, simply because of being so busy. And a bit of overload. But towards the late 1990s, it never totally went away, because I always had the healing gift, and I would use it for bruises and burns, but relatively what I would now, headaches, small things, I would say. But that changed in the year 2000, because I had already had messages that I needed to make a change away from IT, but I found that very difficult, particularly because I actually did like my job. It was a well-paying job. I had a good network of businesses. I had built myself a good reputation. But I came to the point where I ended up with a very high blood pressure, which I didn't know. And as a result of that, I ended up with a semi-detached retina. In my case, the blood pressure had pushed fluid along the optic nerve behind the retina, and the retina was detaching. And I only thought I had a minor spot in my eye, but when the specialist explained to me that I needed fairly urgent surgery because if the retina detached, I would go blind, it gave me a big shock because I was also one of those people that hardly ever got sick. So when that happened, the specialist gave me 4 weeks before I needed an operation. He said, you cannot wait more than 4 weeks, and I had to wait anyway. But I then gave it everything. I put my IT work. I took time off, actually. Being self-employed, you could do so. And for 3 weeks, I gave myself an enormous amount of healing and was able to bring the blood pressure back to normal, as well as the retina again. Obviously, that was not just me. That was done with help of the beings that work with me. So after I did that clearing, which I did not know whether I could actually repair that retina or not. I'd never done anything like it. But after that happened, I realized that was for me the wake-up call. I had to make that change. So that was actually when I made that commitment that I was going to become the healer and the soul channeler that I was meant to be. So that's probably the beginning of a journey. I can go further, or unless you have any questions, I can also wait here.
Yeah, I really love your story, and those times when we experience failure or maybe some very challenging experience like you did, it was during those times that you had your first awakening, and it's really open a space to ourselves to connect more with our inner source, and it is mainly like a shift in the path that we were. So it is an invitation to go in even greater path. And
I must admit I was not a very easy student in that way, because I had many so-called wake-up calls, and I try to do, a lot of people do that these days, you mentally try to control your experience, and I was very good at it. I was so good at it that I actually became an hindrance to myself for quite some time, because I kept diminishing it. I remember getting, because I also have the gift of prophecy, and I started to get my first predictions in the maybe 84, 85, and I could not cope. I could not work out how that was possible, because I believed that we controlled our future purely by our thinking. And then I realized with my own predictions that wasn't always true. And I could not work it out. And the only way I could act, because I was very mathematically inclined as well, one and one is two, and there's no other answer there. So the only way I could deal with it was I gave up. I gave up trying to explain it. And it was actually for me a big breakthrough, because I was always a great thinker. The giving up of the thinking and the allowing things to unfold was for me the key. That is not for everybody, but that was certainly my background. Now, also given the fact that it was at a time when there was not much openness about all of this. It was hidden, and people, if I had said to people, well, I just saw such and such yesterday, that had, say, a person that had died a year before, they would have looked at me and probably raised a few eyebrows and probably thought, well, we better not say anything anymore here. I certainly was not very keen to be ridiculed in those days. Now it's very different. I help people. I often hear in advance when a person is going to die, not saying all the time, but more often than not, I get that. I wouldn't say exactly to the hour, but often almost to the day. And if there is a need to, then I will help that person with the soul healings with whatever they still need to complete before they pass away. And I do that all the time. By doing so, it makes it for that person also much easier to go to their, what I would have to call transition. Now, there was a time when I obviously didn't understand that, but that is actually what happened once I committed in the year 2000 to whatever it took. It was a big commitment, actually, from a very comfortable lifestyle that I had. But I was then taken further, a lot further along by those in spirit to help me with far greater understanding that I actually did not have then about the soul, which is why my work is very soul-directed. I was given incredible amounts of information once I made that commitment, including in 2002 when I received that method. You could call it wired up differently, but I was able to constantly be expanded and go to other different dimensions. And I was given a tremendous amount of help to be able to cope, because that's another thing when you become a healer, and particularly in my case, where you feel everything, your own emotional body, certainly in my case, it's often emotional body, needs to be able to cope. And I was given, well, at the beginning of that journey, 8 months non-stop healings to make my emotional body strong enough to be able to cope with my what I came here to do. So what I was trying to say is I did get a lot of help from spirits or spiritual beings, I must say, far more than I actually anticipated once I made that commitment. And that is something I believe that is very important in anybody's journey, the level of commitment that one has to the course or to the goal. But for me, that was the turning point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really agree with you. Like myself, I also like I really struggle how to explain to people I know here about the work I do. And many times they ask me what are the topics about. And when I say like spirituality, it's for them spirituality is just something related to religion. It's like I don't know how to explain it, and what I found, it's the more I open myself to spirits and to my inner my true self, my inner source, the more I feel the shift in others as well, and like trying to ask, and also and some of them like started to accept it and ask about more details about it.
Yes, I think self-acceptance is definitely the key. And we're fortunately, we're living in a society that now has much greater understanding of these things. We're also moving into a time where we, humanity as a whole, is going to need this understanding a lot more. And one of the reasons why I'm saying it is that is what I was given at the time, that soul awareness in particular, but you can give it any name, you know, spiritual awareness. But I call it soul awareness. It happens to be my part, my flavor of it, is going to become very important, because humanity as a whole needs to evolve into a different race. We need to, as a race, start to function from more caring perspective, particularly for the environment. I'm not an greenie or an environmentalist, but I've been given many predictions, and some of them have, mainly with the weather, and some of them have already started to come through. The timelines that I was given have started to come through, and it doesn't look very good for the next 20 years. Now, I don't want to make this call a call about fears or anything, but the key is we all are part of that. We need nature, we need the climate, we need the climate to function well. So we have a platform of our own functioning, which is our planet, which is the weather, which is looking at the moment very fragile. And in that, we need to make major changes in our functionality, in our way of thinking. And it is happening. There are some great people out there, people that have the money as well, that are willing to make the investments in new technologies, for example. And we need all that thinking, all that contribution on all these different levels. Now, I'm one of many. I sometimes do group calls. I do group calls on the environment as well, or on global issues. From time to time, all my information is channeled. So I only do them when I'm given, you know, permission to talk about it. But the environment, from a spiritual perspective, is at this point in time, from a spiritual world, it's number one, because that platform is the platform for souls to reincarnate in. You know, we need a planet to have a human experience. And the planet will continue on without us, but we cannot live without that planet. It gives us everything. So that is what one of the concepts is from the spiritual dimensions that I work with. And I'm very much a person, I was shown that, where I need to bring the practical aspects, I need to merge the practical aspects of life with spirituality. There's two levels of spirituality. Mine is the one whereby you have practical implementations for spirituality. And that is probably, I can only presume, why my life was a very practical life. I've got an incredible full life of worldly experiences, for a better word, and it has served me tremendously in then helping those that might be having some difficulties in almost everything in life. I've been there and done it. And that is something that my spirit beings also want me to do. That's why the packages are the way they are, is that life is about living. We came here as a soul to experience a life. We are not here just to experience that there are other dimensions. That is very important. But it's also very important that what we do with that from a practical perspective, in whatever way. Yeah. And that's basically what the basis of my teaching is. How can we implement spirituality in daily living? Which is why the modules, when you look at them, they may not look very spiritual. We're not talking about maybe about temples, and I've been to many temples in my in the spiritual sense. But it is purely about how can we, on a practical daily basis, bring our soul and our guidance into our life to have a better outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And we really need to have this practical side about spirituality, because many times we don't understand, like, for example, living in divine flow. We try to give it many meanings, but the experience is the most, and the practical part is the most important. And Mia, can we start taking calls?
Yes, it's not a problem.
Okay, great. So just a reminder for our listeners on the phone, you can raise your hand by pressing *2. And for our listeners on the webcast page, you can write your questions on the question box. All right, so we have a caller from Orlando. Phone number ending with 4420. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What is your name?
I'm.
Hello. We don't hear you very well.
Can you hear me now?
Maybe there's a speaker on the speaker box. Or
you
I
know?
Can't hear it either.
Can you hear me now?
Now it's a little bit better. Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
Hi, Mia.
Hi. How can I help you?
Well, I've spoken to you before about, you know, my physical problems, but I'm just not sure, you know, where I'm going in life and if there's anything that you can see that would help me, give me some clarity.
You said you've spoken with me before. How long ago would that have been? I mean, not that I probably remember. I've talked to so many people, but I don't.
I've spoken to you actually twice before.
Oh.
Once might have been a year ago on different.
I wouldn't remember. Okay.
And then the last time was not too long ago, but it was a weight loss call.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just tuning in. You're feeling very light, though. So what is the main issue, if you picked one issue for this call, what would be the main one?
Well, isn't the call about, you know, like inner guidance?
Okay, inner guidance, yes. Anything in particular, though? If you have children?
No, I'm the caregiver of my 86-year-old mother.
Okay.
And I feel confused about career, feel confused about whether to sell her house or not to sell her house, and I just feel confused and scattered.
Yeah, I knew there was caregiving. That's why I actually thought it was children. Okay. Yeah, well, I can't. The practical decisions of selling or not selling, I see them as more practical decisions rather than anything. It depends. If you don't live there and the house becomes a burden, and it depends on the market. But what I feel is a bit of an overload in your thinking. Now, the overload in the thinking is your worry. If you go inside yourself, you can feel that now. The worry itself is actually creating too much of an overload for you to have clarity. Now, if you sit with that, with my work, when I speak, you get the awareness, and then the awareness itself will shift it. But it will take a few minutes for that to happen. So we just need to sit for a few minutes with worry. You don't have to go into detail, and you might start to feel it becoming lighter in the forehead.
I'm sorry, lighter what?
In the forehead area where your frontal lobes are, there's a lot of density there, a lot of stress, but that is also where our higher thinking functions, where you get intuition, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving now. I'm getting the yes, it's moving. If you go inside, you might start to feel a little bit softer now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give it another minute, and then you have a major clearing of worry. The overload of the worry was too much, and then we can no longer think in the way we need to think. If you now go in your heart, try to focus in your heart, and now focus on whether or not to sell the house. Are you now getting a clarity?
Am I getting a clarity?
Yeah, you're getting a sense now, in your heart center, whether or not it's a good idea to sell the house.
Well, I'm still confused because in my heart I don't want to sell it, but practicality says sell it.
Yeah. That's right. Well, the heart doesn't want to sell it because you have also some attachments to the house. Was that a house also where you grew up in, like a childhood memory, or did you spend a fair bit of time in that house?
Yes.
So you have an emotional attachment. That's something I cannot do on this call. An emotional attachment is usually something you simply have to walk through. There's not a great deal I can clear there. It's more like, yes, I do have memories here. Yes, I do have memories there. And then slowly you normally start to let go. That's usually how it happens. It happens usually when you can see that you have attachments. And you'll probably find that once those attachments, and they're purely emotional, have gone, it's got to do with not feeling safe, then you will automatically start to make different decisions. But again, they are still your decisions in your own divine timing.
Mm-hmm.
But can you now feel that things are changing in your heart? If you go back there in there again, can you now feel that? It's different. It just shifted a little bit. When I mentioned the word attachment, your soul took over, and your soul started to shift two or three of those attachments. There could be more.
Okay.
How does it feel now in your heart? Does it feel the same, or does it feel different?
It feels lighter.
Yeah. This needs 2 hours to complete. That doesn't mean it's the end of the journey, but you have the sorrow is almost completing, but the emotional attachments, there could be more. It depends a little bit sometimes on the environment, how many good memories, you know, how long you've lived there. But you've definitely, quite a large chunk has now been cleared. Now, there's nothing else I can offer you on that subject. If you have any more other questions, I'm happy to look at anything else, but not on that one. That's all. That one has been given everything I can give it for today. The house.
So would the worry that I had, would that have a lot to do with my physical health?
Yeah, it's a combination of you as I feel it. Are you the sole caretaker? Because that's what it feels like. The overload says you're the only one. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, that's a very difficult journey. I was that for a part of a period of time, not as long as you, and there was an end to it, but I know how difficult it is to be in that caretaker role.
Yeah.
But you're concerned if something happens to you with your health, that your mother would not be looked after properly. That's another one.
Yes.
Now, the only thing I can suggest there is really some practical measures that, I don't know whether you're part of a community or of a church or something, that you just go and talk to somebody and explain what the situation is. And just say, is there a way that I can call for backup support should I need it?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people often are willing to volunteer when they understand the situation.
Yeah.
But it will only happen if you open up, if you explain that first.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only other thing I can suggest there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mia.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Mia. And yeah, when you said that's when you speak, she get the awareness about the issue, and you reminded me about the time that we spoke. We didn't have a session; it was we talked a little bit, and you talked about that I had a fear, and I was not very aware about that. Sometimes it happened. I didn't know from where I got it. It was really a huge fear. And just when you spoke about that and told me like the root cause of it, it's really like shifted the way I experienced it. I give it more permission to be, and also like the awareness about what it is. Like it lost more of its control over me.
That's how my work works. My work works from the inside out, so to speak. Let's say we have an inner life and an outer life, and the outer life is, if it's not in alignment with the inner, it's a life full of pretense and glamour. Mm-hmm. You know, glamour and pretense is often when we're not in alignment with the inner. When we're in alignment with the inner, we're often more our true self, we're more aligned, we know better what to do, we're not so confused. We're also more in our own empowerment. Now, the inner world that the soul belongs to understands totally what we're doing in the outer, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It knows when we are in deceit, it knows when we're honest, it knows everything about us, but it cannot speak. It's called karma. So if you do a life full of all the wrong things, it stores it in karma too. But it doesn't necessarily stop us unless our consciousness is really coming to the fore. So when I speak from the inside out. I check out what I'm allowed to say. It's then given to me, not as a person. It comes to my own clairaudience. And then to my own clairaudience, I will speak to the person what I hear. And it is always exactly what I need to hear, even sometimes down to the word. I sometimes get words that the odd occasional English word that I actually don't fully know the full meaning of myself. But I give it, if it's in English, most of my channelings are in English. I can do them in Dutch too, that are the only two languages I'm fluent in. But if I get the words, that word is really significant for that other person. With the meaning that person gives to it, I must say that too. These words, the words themselves don't have power. The words are a means of getting a concept from one person to another. That's with any language the same. That's with the soul healing word the same as well. So if I channel certain words for a person, then they are right for that person. Well, if they went back to myself, Mia, they might have a different meaning. Because the meanings of a lot of words also are related right back to cultural experiences, to your own life experience, and all of that. So somebody who's lived in poverty and then maybe later on in life becomes better off, the word poverty means a lot more than for somebody who's never lived in poverty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the emotional attachment to the word poverty for somebody who has lived in poverty is far greater than for somebody who never had poverty. And that's with any word, any concept. The word is only a means, a vehicle to express what needs to be expressed. So I want to make it clear that the words themselves have no power in my channeling. They only have the power in what they mean to the recipient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do we need to allow this to the healing to happen to us, or it will happen anyway? Like spirits will help. Even if we give permission or not?
Well, sometimes it does happen anyway, that the soul has an incredible amount of power, but most people don't go there. I never went there myself. I can easily say that. But the soul ultimately brings life to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like the soul comes in our body. I have been told it starts weeks already before the baby is born, that the soul starts to make a connection in multiple dimensions. And then even just after birth, that process is finishing. So the soul, that energy structure, is that what keeps us alive with help of spirit. When we die, that soul part pulls back. Now, I also must make it clear that the soul itself is a huge energy structure. It's huge. And only a very small part of that soul incarnates in a physical body. So while we have a soul structure attached to us, a soul structure I can tap into with my healing work, and some people can do it clairvoyantly as well, I do it in three different dimensions, that part of that soul that we are connected with is still only a small part compared with the overall, call it size, or you can't really use the word size either, but magnificence of the soul. And somebody once said to me, you can compare a human with the soul as a pea, you know, a little pea, compared to a pumpkin. That is how small we are energetically in this human aspect of us compared with the soul. And therefore also in those higher soul dimensions, there are no secrets. You know, we can try to hide whatever we want in this lifetime, and we have a right to do so. And most of us could not cope if we knew everything about everybody else. But on the higher planes, there is no such thing as a secret. Everything is open. And that is what happens when we actually then go to transition at the end of our lives. You know, we go to a particular process where we go to completions, etc. And they sometimes start weeks before a person goes to a transit, and it's basically to clear remnants of unresolved issues, and also for us to look at what we may or may not have learned in this lifetime. Now, I don't mean the learning as a school, you know, where we now know, in my case, how to write a computer program. It's learning about life, about qualities, and those type of things. Qualities such as care, kindness, support, love, consideration, or not, you know, it just depends upon where our soul went during the life. And there's no right or wrong either. It's just about bringing a balance back in the soul. And that's when we come in, say, with karma. And I had a little boy with autism. The very first autism client, actually, that I healed was actually a massive karmic infliction. But I want to also make it clear that not every autistic client is inflicted by karma. You know, definitely not true. But I have done a lot of work with autism. But one of the boys was purely karma, and I was already told when he was three that I could heal him. But the time was not the right time, and by the time he was five, I was told one day, you cannot give him the healing. And that is because karma can often not be cleared at a young age, because the soul of that person needs to be able to cope. But in this case, when he was five, we could. Sometimes I'm not allowed to clear karma, and a person needs to step into it. So there's all these different versions of it. Sometimes a karmic plane needs to stay there until a person is an adult. But it's then for other reasons, and it has to do with the understanding of the past life, which a five-year-old doesn't have. But in this case, I was given permission when he was five to clear the karma. And within 2 weeks, he was just totally speaking, well, not only like normal, but he was like catching up. He was talking nonstop. So that is what karma can do to us too, not only with autism, but also with other physical, mental, emotional states that we have. In fact, I would say that 50% of my healings do involve an aspect of karma. But that is what the soul tells me, because as a human, again, I would not know that. I would not know what the soul came to achieve. Souls, when they incarnate, they have their own purpose. That purpose isn't always as glamorous as some people think, and can be as simple as learning to love maybe your mother or your father or your brother or your child, because you might have a major karmic impediment with that person. So it can sometimes be fairly simple, but it can sometimes be one of the hardest things to do, depending upon how much karma there is between you and that other person. But I would say that almost everybody who incarnates has within their close environment, so like at the most second degree, like at the most grandchildren, but children, parents, brothers, sisters, you'll have at least one or two people they are they came here to meet again to clear karma with. So when I start a session, I will always first, before I actually even listen to the person's question, I will always first quickly check with the soul if there is any unresolved karma that needs to be cleared, because that is so incredibly important from a soul perspective. And that's the same when a person dies or is going to die. It's really important that any karma that needed, and with karma I mean unresolved issues. I don't mean punishment, I mean unresolved issues, that they get cleared if that was what the soul had intended to do for this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really powerful. Really, thank you, Mia, for it's really clear explanation about like the lessons that we need to learn, and also like about karma, because sometimes, as you said, we understand it as punishment or something like that. So, thank you.
Yeah, karma is very misunderstood by myself as well, by the way. I also thought karma is something that, well, I did this to him in a past life, now it's dawned to me. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
It all depends on the circumstances that something happened, you know, when he did something. Even if it was a severe crime, if you can learn of that crime in this lifetime, then there may not be any karma left by the end of your lifetime. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how well the soul sits with its own understanding of its own life, for a better word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. So I would love to take another question from the webcast.
Sure. Yeah.
We have a question from Maya from Edmonton.
Okay.
Dear Mia, I have been having some blocks in my career business and wonder if I'm blocking myself on some level from allowing new opportunities to come to me. I feel I'm in a transition, but nothing is shifting, and it's been a long time now. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I can't do as deep a clearing as I can when I talk to a person, because you get answers. But the only fear that I fear is incredibly deep is the fear of change. Mm-hmm. Ideally, a dialogue would be better, but the fear of change can hold us back in our own insights. And insights mean that let's say, well, I didn't have a fear of change. I was in some ways very comfortable where I was. I didn't have a fear to change. I simply didn't know where. But there are people that really cannot make a change. They cannot even move house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've moved a lot of times in my life, so change for me is not an issue. Immigration itself is really stretches you to learn to adapt to change. I usually see change as positive. That means it depends what the intent is, of course, behind it. You can also create a negative intent. But generally speaking, if you want more and better, then the change will be good. But the key is sometimes you have to give something up.
Yes.
And if we are afraid to give up whatever that is, that's when we're holding ourselves tremendously back. I held myself back because I didn't want to give up a business that was doing very well. Why would you? And then knowing that I had to almost start from scratch again, in an area that was an income earning perspective, because I was going to make a commitment full time, although I gradually weaned myself into it, but I had no idea where it was going. So there are then moments where you have to let go and allow and face your fear of change. There's nothing else I can add to that, but the facing of the fear of change can happen several ways. One is, you simply ask your guides or God, you know, in whatever way you pray for help, and sometimes you can get it in your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that you get help to a person like myself, a healer of some kind. And there are sometimes methods. Now, I have a module in here as well that works to help you overcome change. But some people are very good at, for example, visualizing themselves in the new, and then they sit with it until they've overcome all the fear. So everybody has their own way. That's all I can say. But fear of change is the key.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And like the fear of change, we experience this many times. And as you said, it's mainly because we are too attached to what we have, and also about the outcomes of life. So
exactly
we
right.
have, yeah, we have.
Well,
some,
one of the things change means for most people a loss. Change. There's very few people who, in their unconscious, say change means a gain. Most people believe change means a loss. It is just something that we are born with almost. It's very deep in humanity. Change means a loss. So when you then want to go to a change, if you have unprocessed issues of loss from a past life probably, then they will all come up. They can only come up because you are changing your reality. So in your shift of your reality, you will then start to bring up the next layer, which is loss. Now, if the next layer is gain, then you want one of those, this is a subconscious process, one of those very few people that is flying through life. And you would say Richard Branson is one of them. You know, he just tries and does, and he sees, I think, everything as great, as wonderful, as beneficial. Yeah. Now, when you have those belief structures, life becomes a lot easier than for those that have negativity attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also we allow ourselves to experience much, much more things and also have more joy in our life.
Yeah, so, well, the other thing with change is often that we need to work harder, extend ourselves more for time only because we need to learn the new. And some people fear that. They fear that they cannot learn the new anymore, that their mind is no longer as good as it once was. All these fears come into it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we just need to have this trust that everything will unfold and we'll be given just the thing that we can handle. So it's much more of trust, yeah.
Well, what I usually do is I do have goals and all of that, but I don't force them upon myself. While I have an intent, I then, on every given day, I look at where my own energy takes me.
Yeah.
And if it feels very stressed, I don't want to pursue it at that point in time. I let it be. But I will usually find out what the stresses are about. In my case, it can also sometimes be working then too hard or working. If I implement something new too soon, I could be working too many hours. And that's sometimes the reason why my guides also try to stop me. But there are very different reasons why a person from within may not be able to make a change. Sometimes it genuinely can be timing.
Mm-hmm.
But the timing isn't right. That's another reason why sometimes change doesn't flow as easily. As this is just more general, though, not just for the one question, but just in a general one around change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. And it was because for me also, before I did Your Divine Uniqueness and also a podcast before, I wanted to do this 2 years before, and each time I was postponed it because when I see the experience I went through, I wasn't ready at that time, so I needed to postpone that until it's like the right timing.
Yeah. In my own life, when the time is right, it often manifests very quickly. But I must say the time is right for me. It's not just sitting there and waiting for divine intervention. It really also means that I participate. So I do my bit and then say spirit or God or source does its bit, you know. So it is sort of a joint partnership is how I see it.
Yeah.
If you just sit and wait, it very rarely happens.
Yeah,
you really need to be part of your own life.
It's mainly about like preparing ourselves during that time.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You can bring yourself, for example, to a higher level of consciousness by clearing all the fears. And there's obviously, I certainly totally agree that inner work is a really big part of anything. But what I'm trying to say is there's always also a level of outer, even if it simply means making phone calls. You know, or if it obviously was an internet business, you have to set the internet business up or have somebody else set it up for you. But it's always a combination of the two. But once you have the inner totally in that place where you need to be, then the action steps to be taken or people coming into your life often happens fairly naturally. and flows quite easily. And I've had seen it happen in my own life quite a few times, including at immigration. I really immigrating from literally one side of the world to the other was not in my mind at all until I visited Australia in 79, and then I realized how spacious the country was, and I loved the subtropical climate here. It then still took me 12 months to adjust to the idea of, and I went on the inner then already. I worked totally on the inner, and only once I had the inner aligned with myself and I felt totally at peace with a potential immigration, that's when we actually applied for it all. Now, it was an interesting process. We had, in record time, we had a positive, and there was a very small quota at the time to go to Australia. I think it was 6,000 or something for the whole of the Dutch population, and there was something like 40 or 50,000 applicants. We had our, we had it back in no time. Like within 4 months, we knew we could go, and then we had to sell a house in a market that was severely depressed. Now, we were not that savvy that we actually quite knew what to do there. We had seen houses around us on the market for a long time. And I prayed and I asked, and within maybe 3 weeks, we went to a market, a local market in Rotterdam. It's a very big city. And on that market, we ran into a high school friend of mine. I had seen her, didn't see her very often. We came to talk, explained, you know, we were going to immigrate. And they ultimately bought our house in record time again. Now, it was a chance meeting at the market where I would go only once a year. And they wouldn't go very often either. So in hindsight, again, I could say that was not a coincidence. And then, so the house was sold, and we were literally within 10 months of applying, we were in Australia. But if you really had looked at it rational with the housing market and everything and the number of applicants, I would have expected it would have taken a little longer. But once I was in alignment and I could cope, which I didn't understand at the time that it was how it worked, by the way. I was guided, and but that's, then it can flow very quickly. Same in business. Yeah. I went from no business to employing 4 people in 18 months. I flew into it, but all the learning, all the knowledge was already in me. I had just done most of it as a senior manager in somebody else's company. So I had 90% of the knowledge and everything that one does to run one's own business. I already had that. 10% probably not. That came when I was in my own business, but that went very quickly as well. So when we are ready, and we don't force it too much, but we allow our own divine uniqueness to help us in alignment with where we believe we need to be, things can happen very quickly, so-called miracles. Mm-hmm. That is what I have done in some cases with some of the healings that people had, healings of issues that are very rarely, it can very rarely be healed. It can be done because both the soul, the recipient themselves are ready for whatever change is needed, and they tend to have a fairly powerful spirit and guidance around them to bring them to that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful. I would love to invite another caller.
Sure, yeah.
We have a caller from Illinois, phone number ending with 7877. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello. What is your name?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Hi, my name is Marcia.
Welcome, Marcia. What is your question?
Mia.
Yes.
I've talked to you a number of times before, and my sister as well. And I am at the crossroads of having to move right now. I still haven't found a place. And I have to be out like in a little over a week. And I'm not quite sure where I'm going or what I'm doing, I guess.
Yeah, you're super stressed. I must admit the stresses are so strong I can barely get any guidance at the moment. Did you have to move, or did you make a hastily decision to move?
Oh, no, I had to move. My landlord sold my condo in record time, so...
Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah.
It seems to happen that way frequently for me. And I've been here 6 years, so I'm...
So after 6 years, yeah, that's part of the fear, the sudden. There's a suddenness, there's a shock there. I'm briefly looking at it. This is probably more so for a session than for a group call, but I'll see what I can do on it for now. There's a fear of a shock of the unexpected. And you might have had that already before, and you're reliving it partly from the past. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so part
of
your stress now is the past.
I've gone losing my home, too.
Yes. Now, you don't have to share that with us, but what I suggest is that you get pen and paper later on and that you write down a long list of all the really terrible things that are now going to happen to you. Everything. Write it down. Then burn it or flush it down the toilet and wait and see how much of it is left tomorrow. You haven't fully acknowledged all your fears in there. So make it a really long, it may sound like a negative process, I know, but it's not. It's an acknowledgement to your soul of where you are at the moment.
So what could negatively happen to me or what has happened to me?
Well, no, but you have a whole bundle of thoughts, maybe 20. And I'll give you one. I could be homeless forever. That's only one of 20. So you need to write them all down. As the thoughts will emerge, you write it down. One after the other. They will emerge. They will flow up like a well. And you let them emerge. And then you never ever look at it again. You destroy that piece of paper straight away. It's just got to come out of your system. That's all. And by destroying it, you can't sit there again and reiterate it by tomorrow. So destroying means burning or shredding it or, you know, flushing it down the toilet or something. And then wait and see what is left, and you will feel a lot lighter tomorrow. Half of those thought patterns and belief structures that you're holding, you don't need. They are ghosts from the past. Now, there are so many, I don't want to sort of dishearten you, that if we had to do a session, I would have to say we need an hour. But that's why I say if you write them all down, you're giving yourself, in a way, a session. By acknowledging what is, and then your soul will say, well, that's false. Yeah, that happened 10 years ago, but you don't need that anymore now. And you'll automatically start to free yourself from it. Maybe not all, but at least half. It will give you more insight.
Yeah. Well, and then the other aspect of it is the financial, you know, that, you know, having enough funding and budget to be able to equate to where I'm at now, because
well, I would do one. I'm living at a lesser price. the biggest one at the moment is your fear of what would happen next. So that's the one I would do in the writing. I don't know whether that at the moment will also give you freedom with the financial aspect. It would have to be the next step. I would personally probably not really focus on the two things all at once because you are already in severe overload. I would really only focus on getting rid of all those fears around the move. And my version of it would be to write it all down. But once you have lightened the load in one area, then usually there's room for more thoughts, for more ideas, or for other things, opportunities that you may not even have thought about. When we get so bogged down as you were or are, then there is no room for creative thinking. It just can't flow. And once that flow is back there, it will happen once you take all that negativity away, and I similarly recommend through the writing, then you will become your own master again. You will create your own think, you know, you will get your own flow back.
Is that part of what's causing my ankles to be swelling and me not losing weight?
That I don't get any answers. I think you're running too much in too short an amount of time, whereas the priority is the house. Spiritually, the priority is the house. Ankles, weight, it's not, you've got to get out of that fear around having to move first. A whole lot of things will shift from that in your insight and in your actions.
Okay.
You're blocked. You're blocked in your insides by the stresses of the move. So we are our own master. You are too, but you've blocked that mastery by fears of the move, sudden move.
Okay, I can do my homework.
Yeah, I would suggest not to think too much about anything I said, but purely make that list as soon as you can and then destroy it. And that's going to give you the freedom that you need of every single fear that's in you at the moment. Write it all down as if you're talking to a trusted friend, but then destroy it.
Okay.
All right? It's just one way that you can clear your subconscious mind of a lot of fears. They're all in your subconscious. It's one way of doing it. Some people say we write letters to God, but I'm a little bit more practical. I say write it to yourself and to the soul. There's nothing wrong writing letters to God, by the way. Some people have great outcomes there as well, but the soul in this case can shift you in an inkling once you understand what you've done to yourself with all those negative thoughts. You've created them.
I create.
Every single thought we have created it, but not always conscious. So all I'm suggesting is that you uncreate them by writing them all down so that they can go again. And then your own spirituality and your own divinity can start to come to the fore. It's at the moment totally overloaded by grief, loss, fears, future, past, what happens there, what will happen now, this, that, and a whole list of things. And you become so used to it that you can't see that that's what you're doing. So writing it all down, there's nothing else I can add to it because I can't go into the planes where you're stuck because that is three dimensions deeper and it couldn't happen probably for a week after you've written that list. It's multiple layers, multiple dimensions that you're stuck in. But the main one is all these scary thoughts.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
All right, then. You're welcome. Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's challenging, especially when we are overloaded and confused with too many things. And as you said, we don't have to do it all at once. Just focus on one thing at a time. And as you said, it will clear more space and energy, and we have more light and also inspiration for what we'll do the next.
Well,
we also need to trust that when we take step by step, it's the short path that we can take.
Yeah, but when we're in that state where the previous caller was in, where we can only see fear, a big mountain of fear, there is no trust left, and you cannot get to the trust. So in this case, What the purpose of the writing is that in the writing, you're meeting yourself. So your writing is a way whereby you meet your imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
And if your soul is powerful enough with your spirit, it will take half of them away. It's a form of the dirt is arising. Yes, we've got a particle there. That means this. We've got that. And it'll go then. Now, not everything can all go in one go. But in this case, she will get a little bit of extra spiritual help if she's willing to do the work, because the work is in her to be done by her, which is the clearing of her fears. Because the more you hold on to fears, the more you create the fearful outcomes that you don't want. A bit like the law of attraction. So the more you can purify yourself of any fear, of any belief, the more spirit can create miracles. And they can sometimes come in ways that our mind cannot even comprehend.
Yeah,
and that's what
I was
trying to explain, actually, that I called it the creative side, but that the creative side might be one phone call to someone that says, oh,
mm-hmm.
Look, I've got a spare room there. Why don't you stay there for a month until you get yourself sorted out? And sometimes these things, I've seen it happening with other people as well, where offers are being made that I hadn't even thought about. But only once they were willing to let go of their concerns and align more with their own divinity within, which is what that writing, to a degree, not completely, but to a degree, would do. It would, in this case, clear a lot of mental fears. But sometimes people have deep karmic planes, and then it can be different. You know, if from a karmic perspective you have to understand more about certain losses, it may mean that you really need to understand that maybe in a past life you lost a whole farm or something, and it is still acting itself out in this lifetime. They are usually more topics that I deal with in sessions, because I can then go into the karmic planes and find out what was unresolved. And some people have that. I had it, for example, where I had a fear for most of my life, minus maybe the last 15 years, a fear of the law and of judges. And I've never been a person that would do anything wrong anyway. So why do I have a fear? Well, I don't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And when I actually really went deep enough about 15 years ago, I was actually incarcerated in a past life, and ended up being my debt as well, but it was in an unfair way. You know, I was this betrayed, and I never did what people say I did. So once I cleared that core karmic plane, that whole issue of fear for law or etc., it all went away. It just went by me understanding that what I was actually facing was a past life where I was incarcerated while I shouldn't have been. And that's what with losses in particular. A lot of people lost farms, had major losses, famine, etc., in past lives. When there are loss issues, there can sometimes be sudden losses of past life at play. But I don't believe that was with the previous caller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Mia. And now I would love if we can talk about the packages, and then we can continue with a few more questions.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
I just want to guide our audience to that page, so you can get there by visiting the link yourdivineuniqueness.com/Mia6. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Mia6, M-I-A and number 6, or just by clicking on the special offer button on the webcast or the replay page. All right, so Mia, can you talk about that? We have two packages.
Yes, you've got a package A and a package B. I might first explain the differences, and then I'll explain mm-hmm. package A. Now, package B is identical to package A, but it has one extra element, and that is a healing weekend that I'm doing at the end of July. And I might as well explain that healing weekend first. That healing weekend is a 3-day event whereby on the Thursday we start with an minimum 90-minute group call. It can sometimes go a bit longer. It depends a bit how many live questions I have on the call. And it is then immediately followed by 3 days of healing, whereby everybody that wants to be part of it can pick one topic. There will also be a document that will be emailed a few days before to help focus on that topic. And during that weekend, I will then focus for each individual person on that one topic that they're struggling with. So that is what is in package B that is not in package A. Now, package A consists of 33 MP3s and 7 e-books. And they're basically grouped in, there are 5 modules, and each module has an e-book and, in one case, 2 e-books and a number of MP3s. And each of these modules, and I'll start with item 1, they address quite an important part in a person's life. So item 1 has to do with losses and with relationships, but any type of relationship, not just like divorces. It can be the loss of a parent because they mm-hmm. died, or a child because it leaves home, for example. Loss of colleagues if we change workplace. So anything to do with loss, where we could not cope, where we had to overcome the loss of a person, is covered in item number 1. And the way that works is it works with the soul and with spirit and with your own intent. So at the beginning, in one of the early first modules, you'll be asked who you want to do the work with. And at that point in time, your soul and spirit know then. And once they know, it will then go, the modules go to a series of clearings, because you can have a state of loss can consist of 5 or 6 different things. A loss through death is very different than a loss because the person is mature, like a grown-up child, and needs to go their own way. So each of these modules is addressing a different aspect of loss that can prevent us from moving forward. Now, that was actually one of the probably most difficult modules I had to create. It took probably 3 months before that module was ready, because there are so many different states in a person that can cause a person to be stuck in a state of loss. But they're all covered in there. So the best thing is when you do listen to them, that you do the modules in order. It is actually in the book as well. And the way it works is that you listen to an MP3, and each MP3 is between 5 and 10 minutes. And then with most of these MP3s, you have to wait minimum of 3 hours. You can do anything like you normally do. You don't have to rest or anything. But during those 3 hours, your soul will then clear what it can clear in relation to the person that you want to clear the issues with. You can drive a car. You can even listen to the modules and drive a car. But I would suggest nothing can go wrong, but it will probably be more effective if you took 5 minutes, or that's all it is, and listen with a little bit more focus. Because when you drive, for example, you will not hear the information at the same level as when you pause. But you don't have to meditate. These modules are definitely created for somebody that has a busy day, that just can take out 5-10 minutes here and there, where you just listen to my voice. And then in some cases, you may have to tune into your body and check out where there is a stress. And in other cases, you purely have to state an intent. So the first one is on relationships. And the second one is on inner love and well-being. The more we can become more aligned with ourselves, with who we are, the more love and kindness and support we will feel on the inner. Now, this process, again, it's a little bit like a self-inquiry, where you're asked a few questions and where you're given information. The only difference is that you don't do it mentally, like a self-inquiry would be, but it is all handled by your soul and by spirit. So while you go to the modules, your soul and spirit will know how you perceive it, and they will get the instructions. There are instructions embedded in each one of the MP3s as well, specifically for your own spirit. So your spirit will get that, and your soul will then take the action to bring you with item number 2 more in alignment with your own inner love state. Item number 3 is really all about change, and it is about how we can best step forward in what I would call better version of ourselves. So what it doesn't do is, it doesn't create a miraculously new life where everything is suddenly all different. You still have to create it yourself. But what it does do is, it brings you in alignment with your higher self, your higher awareness. And therefore, your higher awareness usually knows what your fears are that block you. So you may, in some cases, if the changes are great, you may have to do this module 2 or 3 times. You usually know when you're finished. It depends on the severity of the issue. But it basically is there to clear our fears around moving forward in whatever way they can surface. But again, the reason why we may have to do the module more than once is that in phase number 1, we may simply be fearful that it won't all work out. So you clear all that, and you might feel fine for 3 days, and then you might end up with another fear. And that might be, say, the fear of the loss of a colleague, should you want to change jobs or something, or move to another city, the fear of the loss of whatever you had in that city. So it will then go to the next layer, where it looks at what the next layer is that could hold you back. Now, I would say that in most cases, there are no more than 3 at the most. So I would say that after 3 listenings, and I would say that you probably take 3 or 4 days to listen to the modules, 1 MP3 at a time, then maybe give it a few days break, and then listen again. But I would say that after maximum 3 listenings, you would normally have all the layers that spirit can help you with. What you still have to do, of course, if it involves your skill base, you'll still have to do that yourself. But you might find that will also become easier. Now, item 4, your new home. There was a time where I had a lot of people around me. They're all moving in and out, and neighbors moving as well. And I realized the enormous amount of fear that was around people. So I actually decided to create the module, and it has become quite a success. Whereas I actually thought people probably wouldn't be that interested. It became quite a success, where people, because you can use it for buying, selling, for renting. And what it does is it aligns you with what is for your highest good. So if you want to move and it's out of timing, you might all of a sudden realize that you need to wait. There's a whole particular process in there whereby you can use it if you're looking for a house as well, because there's a little checklist that you actually need to follow in there. If you want to move, you also put all that information in there. If it's the right area you want to move into, you might get an impetus to move forward. If it's the wrong area, you might know that. So it can help you in all these different ways with the move. Also with, if it's a big move, with all the stresses that you can have from all the organizing removal list. If you have children, finding your children a new school, etc., it will actually clear a lot of those fears as well around anything to do with the move. And then on the day of the move, it works with a particular process where your own divinity will help you. There is far less chance for anything to go wrong, because your own soul will make sure that, let's say, the removalists are going to be on time, or if there is another factor involved, that all those factors that you planned on that day will all be more in what I would call divine timing. So that to say, that module helps far more people, but also with renting, than I ever anticipated. And it works very well. And the final one, ideal career, and I must admit what it does is it aligns. So it doesn't give you your ideal career, that is something you have to, they'll have to come from within.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give you an alignment back to what is for your highest good. So if, for example, you are in a job, the same as it would have applied to you, Monsef, when you were thinking of changing or not changing. Now, you could have used that. You don't have to be employed. You could have used it as well, and you might have found that maybe it would have only taken you 6 months, because it would have taken whole chunks away of sometimes past lives as well, fears of the unknown. You know, we can fear of the future, fear of what tomorrow brings. There's so many fears. But by doing that, the less fears you get, the more you become aligned to what's right for you, the more you will know what the next step is. Mm-hmm. That's in a nutshell those five modules. Now, each module has multiple MP3s, ranging from minimum probably 4 or 5 to about 7. And they are there because we are dealing with what I call flow. So a person is not just one state or another. We can have a whole bundle, we would call them fears probably, a whole bundle together. And each one of these MPTs will delve into a different aspect of what could hold you back moving forward in the particular topic of the MP3, of the module. Now, bonus one is a compilation of articles that were channeled quite a few years ago now. I posted them at the time. I put them on article website, etc. And as a result, it was very interesting. And the Swedish Department of Education chose one of my articles, and they asked my permission. And they used it, actually, for their high school exam in 2012. So in 2012, every 16-year-old in Sweden that had to that did their high school exam in English, and everybody there had to do English. It was a mandatory, is a mandatory second language in Sweden, had to translate my article. So I was very pleased, because it was ultimately a channeled article that I actually, after it was channeled, I rewrote it slightly, so that it was an article that was more for the general public. That article is also in that book. It was basically explaining people the link between consumerism and climate change, because that's where it all started. You know, our whole process, present-day process of climate change started with, you could say it started ultimately with the Industrial Revolution, but obviously one small step at a time. But consumerism, our excessiveness for products, and then the use of, obviously, the plastics, etc., and the way we use our resources is the key, according to the spiritual channeling I got at the time, is the key to where we are at the moment with how we're damaging the planet. But that's just an e-book that is included in there. Bonus number 2 is a group call. I do a lot of live calls, and people can like like on today's call, they can ask questions, they get mini clearings. I normally do my group calls around a topic, and a topic can be, say, success or relationships or our children or particular fears. I did a very powerful one a little while back around fear of death and dying. Everybody has it, and most people don't think about it. But the fear of death and dying can hold us back tremendously, even in our daily decision-making. So this is just one sample of a more general group call that I did, whereby people can get some idea of how that works. And the healing flows are still in those calls, even if you listen to them later, as they were when the call was live. A bonus number three, a liver clearing. I did a liver clearing. I had to create it at one stage for a family member who had an enlarged liver, which is a really big problem, actually, in Western society. I didn't realize it until then that a very large percentage of people have an enlarged liver, not just because of alcoholism, but also because a diet that has too much fat in it. And the percentages are enormous. You know, in America, I seem to remember 25-30% of people have a fatty liver, and they don't know it. Often we don't know that liver is enlarged until it is we're getting symptoms, and that is usually when it is a little bit late. So I did the clearing as an energy, obviously an energy clearing, and if you have an enlarged liver, you still need to take all the precautions and do everything else that you need to do, or if it's to alcoholism, you obviously need to stop drinking. But there's a little bit in there also around alcohol. It was for another client, and some people claim that they stop drinking after they listen to it several times. I cannot guarantee that is what will happen, but it definitely is a great support, energetic support for the liver that quite a few people have benefited from. And then bonus four is for those that would like a one-on-one session. I've included a $100 discount that you can apply to either my 35-minute session or my one-hour session. And that information is emailed to you in a link when you make after you make your purchase. So that is package A for $97. And then package B, as I said before, is everything I mentioned before, plus that 72-hour healing weekend in the end of July. That includes a group call as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you,
that's
Mia.
$127.
And then what I love about the package is that Spirit knows what we need, and we don't have to know exactly like the details, because we have some unconscious fears. Like when we set the intention, and then Spirit know what it's...
That's exactly right. We don't have to go into a great lot of detail. Intention is what it really... It is you giving permission that you want that healing. In the spirit world, you don't work without permission. You work with permission, not with children, but with a person who is of a clear mind, a person who can make their own decisions. They need to give permission, and then spirit will, and they do that in the modules. There are in some modules a question, would you like this healing? And you just have to mentally say yes, and then the healings are given. And it happens, you could say, fairly automatic. You just really don't have to do a lot for that clearing to take place.
Yeah, exactly. It's effortless. And I have a question when about the modules. When we do, like, for example, if we take the first item about relationships, when we set the intention and choose the person we need to do the clearing with, do we need to do all the process just once, or maybe we will need also to repeat it after that?
It could be. It really depends who it is. Let's say if it is. Let's say we had an incredible difficult time with a parent. They're often great ones because we've known them our whole life. They were our role models from a young age. You may have to do it five times. It just depends how deep the wounds are. But if it's somebody that you were married with for 2 or 3 years, it may only need to be done once. It all depends.
Yeah.
Same with colleagues. It may only need once. But if it's a really deep seated clearing, it can sometimes happen with people that we don't know very well, if that person taps into a core issue in us. Let's say if we were incredibly criticized or berated when we were young, then that sits, that fear of being criticized or berated sits so deep in us that it may then be projected out into the world on anything, even on animals. So we might then really need to do it many times to clear that. And then you do one layer of clearing, then you pause, and then you maybe for a couple of days you see where you are finding the triggers the most in your life. It can sometimes move from male to female, or it can move from workplace to sometimes your children. Some of these fears can project themselves in all sorts of ways. Let's say if somebody carried a deep wound around verbal issues, such as berating or criticism. It can later on become in life that you can't cope with barking dogs either, because you've become so sensitive to that critical or berating voice of a parent that anything that makes loud noises becomes too much for you. So it just depends how deep-seated the issue is that you're trying to clear.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mia. And I really love that you made it so simple to use the process, and especially for people who are very busy. And it really makes it easy to commit to it, because sometimes when the processes are very long, we are afraid to not commit to it and to stop. But this is like effortless and very easy to use. So thank you so much, Mia.
And they can even be done, like if you happen to have them, say, downloaded on your mobile phone or something, you could quickly in your lunch break, if you have a full day's work, you can quickly in your lunch break listen to the next module, because it's only a 5-minute module. Providing, I would suggest you put earphones in, because other people would probably wonder what you're listening to. But it's deliberately done for people who are very busy, because I've always lived a very busy life myself, and I know how difficult it can be to make time available to meditate.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Mia, for offering to us this really wonderful and powerful package. Thank you so much. And so everybody, take advantage of this really beautiful package. You can, again, get there by clicking on the special offer button on the webcast or the replay page, or by visiting the link yourdivineuniqueness.com/Mia6, yourdivineuniqueness.com/Mia6, MIA6. Mia, can we take one more question from the webcast?
Yeah, sure.
Quick
one.
Okay. So we have a question from Jan from Ottawa. When we make a list of our fears, does it have to be handwritten? Does that make a difference in how our soul receives the list?
I personally, while I'm very much a keyboard and computer person, I personally like to handwrite. I cannot speak for others. Personally, I find that handwriting connects you more up with the action, and it may not be true, but that's how I feel it. It brings my feeling plane more into it than when I type. When I type something up, I have a level of disconnect that I don't have when I write. Now, ultimately, it's not even about writing or typing. It's ultimately about allowing these thoughts to come to the fore. The issue is, however, that if we are already overloaded and we try to think it through, then we keep worrying that we forget it, or we stay stuck in a loop and we keep thinking the same thought 10 times. By freeing it, we're freeing ourselves up by writing it. That's how I find it. But I cannot speak. That would be a matter of trying it out. For me, personal handwriting has always been the best, but that might be an individual preference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, John, for your question. And so thank you. Thank you so much, Mia. You've been so generous with us, with your time, with your wisdom. It was really an amazing call. We learned new things with you. You gave us much clarity about many things. And thank you so much for also working with our beautiful audience. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having had me on the call. And I also like to thank everybody else for having been on the call. And I wish everybody a happier journey in life with the help of your soul and guidance and spiritual wisdom.
Thank you so much, Mia. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us today live, and also those of you who will be on the replay. Thank you for being present with us and co-creating with us and sharing your energy with us, because this place couldn't exist without you. You are also co-creating it. So thank you so much. Thank you for all of you who asked their questions. And for those we didn't take their questions, I apologize, we didn't have enough time. So maybe another time. So thank you so much. And I'm sending you so much love, and see you on the next call. Bye-bye.